Yeah, in this text, we're looking at how to achieve this state of happiness that is lasting, uninterrupted by even a moment of suffering or pain. So to achieve this, the method is to transform our way of thinking. And the meaning of transforming our way of thinking is to develop wholesome ways of thinking, develop them so they become stronger and stronger and stronger, and become ever more habituated to wholesome or virtuous ways of thinking, and thereby break our habituation to non-virtuous or unwholesome ways of thinking. This is the method to achieve lasting, stable happiness. Wanting to achieve a state of lasting happiness, in particular the perfected state of Buddhahood, the question will arise, can I do it? Is this something within my capacity, or is it something so exalted, so amazing, is that beyond my ability? Well, the truth is, we all have potential to become Buddhas because we are of the same lineage as the Buddha. We have the same nature as Buddhas. The final reality, the journey, the final reality of our own mind and the mind of all the Buddhas is identical. The final reality of our minds is that it is empty of being established by way of its own nature or essence. And there's no difference in the final reality of our mind, the mind of an ordinary being, and that of the Buddhas. And moreover, we receive the support, the assistance and guidance from the Buddhas, which would be here referred to as the blessings from the Buddhas. This is received in the way of their enlightened activities. And this is the enlightened activities of the Buddhas are directed towards all beings to aid them to achieve or to come to realize their Buddha potential.
That in my 6 years long. Malona, do you think it's me, Malasara? Ah, Dine, that in my she's from Batara said in Simji Dun, then be Ranshin la, Dimeleva meva masse, Simji Kunzu be mo, Serik Samlang, Dimeleva mebe, and Sim Sangando, ne, and Yuru Yabata, Chuso, yes.
On page 23, we finish with the final quotation last time, the one from Sublime Continuum. Now coming to His Holiness's commentary in the verse below, or in the paragraph below. So this is on page 23. Thus, not only is the ultimate nature of the mind unpolluted by contaminations, but the conventional entity of the mind, that is, its mere clear and mere knowing, is also unpolluted by contaminations. Therefore, the mind can become either better or worse as it is suitable to be transformed. Here His Holiness is commenting on what we looked at last time, the verse from Sublime Continuum. So looking at the first sentence, or the first line, thus not only is the ultimate nature of the mind unpolluted by contaminations, the ultimate nature of our mind and the mind of the Buddhas is identical in that it's empty of being established by way of its own essence. In other words, the stains are not, or the contaminations are not to be found anywhere within the very nature of the mind. The nature of the mind, it being empty of existing by way of its own essence or nature, is unpolluted, is free of all stains. And there is no being whose nature of their mind is polluted by stains. Not a single being. All sentient beings, just like the Buddhas, the nature of their mind is unpolluted, untainted by any trace of contamination. And therefore, ultimately, in the final analysis, all our minds, the minds of all beings, are empty of being established by way of their own essence. Just before I come to Ken's commentary, just bearing in mind that the word ultimate has the meaning of final, as opposed to in English it can also mean the very best. So we think of it, the final nature of the mind, when one analyzes to the subtlest of levels, the final nature, the ultimate nature of the mind is that it's empty of being established by its way of its own essence, nature, or characteristics. And this is the case for all beings. And thereby, the nature of the mind is nothing but limitless purity. Whereas His Holiness expressed in a previous verse, is in its very essence, at peace.
Rang when you drew the Gigi, you know, Maris, or the Jusu City, Nemad, Nemad, Jumio Mar, Daniel Mar, Mongo Bandit, Chungo Mar, Mrs. Sim Koron, Kala, Matuba, Rang when you do Yungu Maris. The men and the Sim Koron Ganis, your listener, Sim Koron, Shanchila, Dune, Jupiter, Shanchila, Dune, then Jupiter, Matos, Shanchila, Matuba, Rang when you do Mabar, Chisarang when you do Sim Koron, Kala, Rang when you do Mabadida, Rashi, Sim Girashi, Dida, Sangi, Sim Girashi, Chibichiades. 제자 지바레 제자 디니기 몰 지마 지마 요마레 세지
If a phenomenon, so here we're discussing the mind, if a phenomenon such as a mind did exist by way of its own nature or essence, that would mean it would be independent. Because it would to exist, it would be independent of anything other than its nature. It would exist only because it would exist by way of its own nature, independence, and therefore nothing would impact it. But this is not how anything exists, including the mind. Rather, the mind is interdependent or mutually dependent. And because it is mutually dependent, in that the final analysis, no inherent nature or essence can be found. What we need to understand here with this usage of the word ultimate is that it's not that the mind now is found to be empty of existing by way of its own nature, but it previously did exist by way of its own nature. That is a mistake. It has always, since beginningless time, been empty of existing by way of its own nature. Also, what should come to mind with the term ultimate is that whilst the mind is now found to be empty of existing by way of its own nature, it doesn't mean that one day in the future it will be existing by way of its own nature. Not at all. It always has been and always will be empty of being existent by way of its own nature. It is not independent, but mutually dependent. Ultimate nature of our mind, this final reality, the emptiness of our mind, that is our Buddha lineage. And it is that when we do arise as a Buddha, will be called our nature truth body. So amongst the two divisions of the Dharmakaya, or the truth body, our Buddha lineage, our Buddha nature, the ultimate nature of our mind, the emptiness of our mind, will be then called, when we arise as a Buddha, the nature truth body.
And then, never dele, another same rashin, don't number, don't need the la, and a mola, timeleva mebaina, and that same coronga, kunzu be same coronga mola, and it more seric tam delia, and it timeleva yoribes, and your yonchuguru, as a some ligua, dineza, same you kunzu be more seric tam layang, timeleva never is, same you more. So, Kunzu be same, that it don't bring in a shigo marda, the Kunzu same Chirang or the same Jorva, the same Kunzu be same Korong, Kunzu be same Korong, more, sell some Korong, more, sell some Rixam de, sell some Rixam Tela, and then Timeleva Yoribes and Tela and Timeleva Yomares.
In the first line, looking at the mind from the ultimate perspective or at its ultimate nature, its final way of abiding, we recognize that it is empty of existing by way of its own nature, and this is uncontaminated. It's not stained in any way. Then the question comes, so that is the case then in terms of the ultimate nature of the mind, but what about its conventional essence, or its conventional nature? Is the conventional way of abiding of the mind, is that perhaps polluted by stains? So then we come to the second line, or the second part of the sentence. But the conventional entity of the mind, that is, its mere clear and mere knowing, is also unpolluted by contaminations.
Kunzu mawa ba na ane nga zo jiba pa ane san jo kubwa to yi di ishi shukun wo gyu gore, ishi shukun wo gyu gore. Tisa di yin za nga zo ge sempi ngu sa sam rik sam di ane san ji rik re es. Ti nga zo ge le yore, nga zo ge sempi ngu sa sam rik sam di nga zo ge le yore. Tisa di nga zo mawa ba na san jo kubwa ishi shukun gyu ya ge rik. Rictides, the Tenege Sem Mosas and Rhythm Coron, Sem Ranching, Rang and Wenu Dubu Tombe Tony D, and Mobana, and Moniko Kurus, Jesadi, Sanje, Sanje de la, in answer to Moniko de Chugosni, Dinu Mon Kurun, Kurungida, Ricting answer to your Hes Urbana. もう2個で特に溶けてね。あれ、で、しちゅうこで。で、どぐれきしよまだ。まずもんばだで、もう少しずつ別にさ、ジクセムでに、まさんじでで、さ、ジクセムでに、いしちゅうもうぎゅぐれす。じゃ、ディテンゲでにがさ、ジクセムを、ランシにじゅべとんべとんにで、あね、もう2個もうぎゅぐれす。もう2個ちゃぐれす、もんばな。 제가한테
The conventional entity or essence of the mind, which is its mere clear and mere knowing, this too is unpolluted by contaminations. When the time comes and we rise as the Buddha with the four bodies of the Buddha, the conventional essence or entity of the mind, that is what will become the wisdom truth body. This is also the Buddha lineage that we all possess. So what I presented in the previous segment and this show the two lineages that we all possess. Two Buddha lineages that we all possess. The one, the ultimate nature of the mind, the emptiness of the mind. When one becomes a Buddha, this is, it's unchanging, it's permanent, and it is now labeled, called differently, it's labeled as the nature truth body. Whereas the conventional entity of the mind, it's mere clear, mere knowing. This, when one arises as a Buddha, is called the wisdom truth body, or becomes the wisdom truth body. And it's, and these are refer, are come respectively from our, the two Buddha lineages that all beings possess. So these I covered last time. The first, relating to the ultimate nature of the mind, is called the naturally abiding lineage. And again, when one becomes a Buddha, the naturally abiding lineage, the empty nature of the mind, is now called the nature truth body. The developmental lineage, which is the conventional entity or the conventional essence of the mind, this, when one becomes a Buddha, this develops or transforms or changes into the wisdom truth body. The first is permanent, the second impermanent.
Ani ni nza da sem di tengi chunyi di la rangshin ni rikse ko rangshin ji ni rikse di ko rangshin ji ko gyudan jin la ma tuba gyudan jin la ma tuba ma jidan ma tuba tengi ten ten da shen la tuba ruwa ina da gyudan jin la ma tuba nza rangshin ji ni rikse ko sem ko rang rangshin ni rikse ma re so sem di ko kasan gyudan jin la tuba ruwa gyudan jin la tuba ji ko yo ba sem ko rang rangshin ni rikse chagi ma re da sem di la ma sem di la kala wasen ji gyu ji rikla wo jie bar gyu rik kasan da ma sem di nyam ni ji ji la sem di ya nyu bar ma sun cher yuwa na yu ju gyu ne ina san yu ko pang yishi chu ngon gyu yun za ko jie bar gyu rikse ya jie ba la na ya gwan yu kong du phe di si gyu ruwa jie bar gyu rikse so 다 라신 일세디 심띵이 충이디 그런 오 원이 변에 야야 치야데 되는 지요마다 심기 공오 공부도 심 그런 오 공부도 치 야야 저디 심기 띵게 라신기 라신 충이디야 다 원이 고 규야야 타냐야 자주 그 체험마도 고 오 공부도 패세디요 말 예바로 와다
The naturally abiding lineage, naturally abiding Buddha lineage that we all possess. This is the final reality of the mind. It is permanent, so it's therefore not dependent on causes and conditions. It is still dependent rising, but not dependent on causes and conditions. It does not change momentarily. It is unchanging. The mind itself, though, is dependent on causes and conditions. So now I'm referring to the conventional essence of the mind, not its final nature. Conventional essence of the mind, it's clear knowing, this certainly is dependent, the nature, the essence of the mind is dependent, or the mind itself is dependent on causes and conditions. Therefore, it is not of the naturally abiding lineage, which is permanent, but it is of the second type of Buddha lineage, the developmental lineage. When, in the introduction to our class tonight, I mentioned how to spiritually develop and eventually become a Buddha, what we need to do is transform our mind, change our mind. This then is referring to the conventional essence of the mind, the developmental lineage. It is this that develops or changes into the wisdom truth body. So these, when we talk about strengthening our habituation to wholesome minds, weakening our habituation to unwholesome minds, this is referring, this is all possible because of the impermanent essence of our mind, and this conventional entity is the developmental lineage that eventually develops into the wisdom truth body. Developing, it is clearly impermanent. To be able to develop shows the changes, and changes momentarily. So it's the developmental lineage is impermanent. Whereas the final nature, the final reality, the tyranny of the mind, the emptiness of the mind, this doesn't change. This is permanent, it's unchanging. And that there is the naturally abiding lineage, abiding, showing that it's unchanging, whereas the other lineage, developmental, shows that it is changing, it's impermanent. These two lineages, all beings possess, which means all being the nature of mind of all beings. It's empty of being established by way of its own essence. Hence, naturally, all beings have the naturally abiding lineage. This is the final reality of the mind of all beings, ordinary like ourselves, bodhisattvas, arya-bodhisattvas, and Buddhas too. This is the naturally abiding lineage, and in the case of a Buddha, it is the nature, truth, body. For ourselves, ordinary beings like us, we also possess the developmental lineage. The developmental lineage is the conventional entity of the mind. And this is what develops through the cultivation of causes. We all have on our continuum the seeds of compassion, of love. We all have a tender heart. We also have seeds of wisdom. So this is the same for all beings. All beings, everyone here, everyone watching at home, your children, your parents, everyone you've ever met, human or animal, all have these seeds. But being impermanent, being as they are part of the developmental lineage, or you know, being impermanent, they vary in terms of strength. But all beings have these seeds of love, compassion, wisdom, and so forth. All beings have them. They do vary, though, in terms of strength, but all beings have them. So this very coarse, very straightforward presentation of the of Buddha nature, I encourage you to reflect on, to see your potential and the potential of all beings. Yeah, then the question arises, so I recognize that beings have the seeds of virtuous minds on their continuum, and there will be a variety of strength amongst them, but those seeds are there. And I understand that these can be developed into the state of perfection, the perfected love of a Buddha, the perfected compassion of a Buddha, the perfected wisdom of a Buddha. But what about the afflicted seeds, on the seeds of the afflictions that are also on our continuum? Our attachment, our anger, and so forth. These two are, when the minds ripen, these are conventional minds, they are clear and they are knowing. So, what about these minds? Do they and their seeds also develop into the state of the perfected state of a Buddha? Does a Buddha arise with perfected anger and perfected attachment? So this then would be a question that would arise.
Rashin 现在人呢控制这个控制人心里边动不动一点，人心里边对下个定义动一点，人心里边对呢，人心里边那我你个九个葫芦啊，九个九爱没法定控制好了没法说些个话，就是控制半个葫芦没法说葫芦啊，控制没法说完，咱第一定个控制好了没法说的控制个人心里边动不的，也上些一些我你个九爱要嘛的话，现在今天人咋没哎，肯定是也上的，今天给什么利益多，那么多把东西。
Doubts like this and others are important to investigate, because the process here of reflecting on Buddha nature is to see ourselves as we really are. This is why I've encouraged you to take this knowledge and use it in your meditation. So in order to become a Buddha, the process is as follows. We need to accumulate and purify. We need to accumulate wholesome minds, habituate ourselves to them, strengthen them, and purify or eradicate unwholesome minds. This is the process to develop our mind into the mind of a Buddha. This is the process of personal transformation or development. So then another doubt may arise. The final reality, the journey of the mind, this is permanent and unchanging. And this is the naturally abiding lineage. When one arises as a Buddha, this now is called the nature truth body. All minds are empty of existing by way of their own essence. Understand in the previous, when the doubt was answered, that the conventional essence of the mind means that we need to develop the wholesome minds and eradicate the unwholesome minds. But these unwholesome minds, these afflictions, their final reality is empty of existing in the way that they appear, just like wholesome minds. So if we eradicate them, what does that mean? Because we're eradicating minds whose nature is the naturally abiding lineage. And what about when we become a Buddha? We've been eliminating these minds. These are supposed to, their nature is supposed to be arising as the nature truth body. So surely the nature of the afflictions should be part of what arises as the nature truth body. Again, it's a good doubt to have, because as with good doubts, there is some truth in what is being said. All our afflictions are their conventional essence, if they are clear and knowing, that's correct. Their final reality is that they are empty of being established by way of their own nature or essence. So that, and that is no different from any other mind, whether wholesome or the mind of an ordinary being or a Buddha. No difference. Also, this the final reality of the mind, of an afflicted mind, and a wholesome mind, and an enlightened mind, they are all uncontaminated or stainless. No difference. However, so there we can see in this doubt where it's coming from. There is some validity as a basis to this question. But the misunderstanding is that whilst the final reality of an afflicted mind is no different from the final reality of a wholesome mind, that emptiness of an afflicted mind is not the naturally abiding lineage, because it does not become the nature truth body. Why? Because at the time of arising as a Buddha, that affliction is non-existent. Therefore, there is no final reality of any affliction that can be called the nature truth body. And why is there no affliction at the time that one arises as a Buddha? Because in order to arise as a Buddha, the afflictions have to be eradicated. Therefore, we can also understand from this that whilst afflictions such as anger are clear and knowing, they have the same conventional entity as any other consciousness, they do not develop into the wisdom truth body. So therefore, they are not considered a developmental lineage, because they must be eliminated or abandoned, destroyed. So therefore, because they must be eradicated rather than developed, they are not considered part of the developmental lineage, despite their conventional entity being the same as a wholesome mind, and despite their final reality being the same as a wholesome mind. So therefore, because an affliction such as anger doesn't develop into the state of Buddhahood, but is rather destroyed, it is not of the developmental lineage, and therefore cannot become the wisdom truth body, and so too its final nature, whilst empty, is not called the naturally abiding lineage, because when Buddhahood is attained, the mind that is empty, that afflicted mind, does no longer exist.
And
This term that we've had through the various verses quoted, as well as here in the commentary from His Holiness, of contaminations, this we understand refers to three things: the afflictions, together with their seeds, and their imprints. All three, then, we understand to be included within contaminations. So when it's said the nature of the mind is uncontaminated, it means it is free of the afflictions, free of their seeds, and free of their imprints. Anger is an affliction, so therefore it is to be abandoned. So there's no talk of anger becoming a mind of a Buddha, being developed into the mind of a Buddha, and therefore the empty nature of the mind of anger becoming part of the mind of a Buddha, because anger is to be eliminated, being an affliction.
And in it, that it seems you don't be rushing the Tima Yomar, and the same you don't be rushing in and control the new mobile Yomar cigarette water. Same you don't be rushing, don't buy in a rushing in new mobile sabon in a pata Yomar cigarette water. Jetta, same you don't be rushing the new material marasa. That the same you, the Kunzu be same you all a Tima ring just more such a rigsam de la Timele of Majubare to Chidang same Chizamba. Sim chizang ba chizang bigi sim khorong ane rashin ngori sa sa sim dilo ngor ji ma yor ba sim di me ba le ye che ta sim yin na ane sim gi che ba le che che ane ba ye wa chen de sha dong khong ro da nga ya ane ma ri ba se ji su gi rashin la ngor la ane di me le ba yor yo ma le sin ti yor ye se di me ngor la di me le ba yor ye se che sa da di me ngor le di me le ba ma shu ba me ba ma le ba ma le di me le ba de ye de ye se ka la sin de sha khorong di ma le
Control
Sim,
so based on what has just been said, the correct way to understand the second part of the sentence, the conventional entity of the mind, that is its mere clear and mere knowing, is also unpolluted by contaminations, is in the following way. So now bearing in mind the meaning of contaminations, it means afflictions, their seeds, and their imprints. So this sentence we need to understand is it refers to or relates to mind in general. Mind in general. Because if we take an instance of mind, this sentence will be concordant or agree with particular illustrations or instances of mind, but not be concordant or be in disagreement with other instances or illustrations of mind. Take, for example, the conventional essence of the mind of compassion. It's clear and knowing, is, as we have here, unpolluted by contaminations. Compassion, its conventional essence, is not contaminated, in other words, by afflictions, their seeds and imprints. But another type of mind, an afflicted mind, such as anger or attachment, this, its conventional essence, its clear knowing, is contaminated. Because it is an affliction. So therefore, it is contaminated because contaminations include afflictions, seeds, and imprints. So therefore, afflictions are polluted by contaminations because they are, being an affliction, contaminated. So this sentence there, therefore, the second part, the conventional entity of the mind, we need to understand, refers to mind in general. Staying with the same sentence on the conventional entity of the mind. So what I've just presented, how some minds, their conventional entity, is contaminated, this is correct. And some minds are not contaminated. So when referring to mind in general, we said unconventional essence is uncontaminated. But there certainly are instances, namely the afflictions, where the conventional entity of the mind is contaminated, because the mind itself is contaminated. It is an affliction. But there is, so this is correct, but there is a deeper level of understanding also to bear in mind. Our subtlest mind, the subtlest level of mind, it's called the fundamental mind or innate mind. The subtlest level of mind, that's non-manifest for us. At the time of death, it manifests then as all the coarser levels of consciousness dissolve. Finally then, the subtlest level of mind manifests for us. So this subtlest level of mind, its conventional entity, is uncontaminated. So this is the other way to understand this this part of the sentence, that the conventional entity of the subtlest level of mind is uncontaminated by afflictions, seeds, and imprints.
That is why that day, I am going to say, that Sanji is same, you couldn't be same, ye, more some reason there, Timmy Mel Leva Mashubare, Nazu Gigi, and it's going to be same, you more some reason there, Timmy Leva Mashubare, Chiba Chaswa. Then Sanji said, Jen Casore, Gangakini made again, Nazu the Gangayasa as a Teddy, Kashabari, Timmy did that, it's the same, you don't ever rush in the Chibaresha, couldn't be same, dear Raja, more such and reason there.
Meditating well on this and any topic, then questions arise. But how can this be so? Especially here where we are striving to really come to know how we exist in reality. Then this is fundamental to us, our self-identity and so forth. So we need to look carefully. Here what I've presented is that the ultimate nature, the final reality of our mind as an ordinary being and a Buddha's mind is identical. No difference. So too, though, is the conventional entity of the mind of an ordinary being and a Buddha. It's clear and knowing aspect. So the conventional entity and the ultimate nature of the mind of an ordinary being and a Buddha is identical. But our experience, our lived experience, this cannot be as good as it gets. It cannot be Buddhahood because we encounter so many problems, difficulties, and we suffer. But a Buddha abides in lasting happiness, unchanging bliss. When we try and be virtuous people, wholesome people, help others, meditate and develop wholesome minds, we encounter difficulties and problems such as distraction, fatigue and so forth. Many problems. It's difficult to develop our mind. It's difficult to benefit others. A Buddha doesn't have any obstacle from the side of the Buddha. The obstacles are just from the side of the sentient being. So how can this be if the ultimate nature of our minds is the same as well as the conventional entity?
Kada kheba yoresene, ngaranzu gila dima lobo wa ki ane kutumde yores. Sangye ki di dima lobo wa ki di ki chasan nyembo tenje maami zango soya saresta. Jala bine duro la maso na ki ser la maso na delia zobo kweishiba chasan zango soya sana ser ser gyan chariwa. Ngaranzu de zango soya lade yores. Chita ngon la kheba la meba inaya. Lobo 디기 폰스 쏘바다 셴네 폰스 쏘고 쭉튀베 차고라스 나한테 가리 중앙에 괜쇼고라스 로브르기 지마 망고지 규단 긴 데네지레 데네 지마 망고지 녀모모 망고지 깨지 디기 파 뚱제네 아 저기 강아지 지고라스 제자지 강아지 가르치고라스 지나 로브르기 지마디 영어 또 상마 쏘고라 디메바 쏘고라 에서라 로브르기 지바세데 대샤 콘드가 녀모 비릭티기 세그로와
The nature, the final reality of our mind and that of the Buddhas is identical, so too is the conventional essence, conventional entity. Both, this is the clear knowing, both are uncontaminated for ourselves and Buddhas. The difference then is, though, that whilst the conventional entity as well as the nature of our mind is uncontaminated, our mind remains obscured by the afflictions. Our mind is obscured by the afflictions. But these afflictions are adventitious, which means, it may be clearer, they are temporary. Hence, those who have arisen as Buddhas have done so because they have eradicated those afflictions which are temporary. Not only the afflictions they see so that they cannot arise again, as well as the imprints or the stains, the slight obscurations that the afflictions and its seeds otherwise leave behind. All three of those, three levels or parts to contaminations, a Buddha has eradicated. And why could a Buddha do so? Why is this possible? Because these afflictions are adventitious. They are temporary. Recognizing this is crucial, because that means our Buddha potential can be fulfilled. It's not mere theory that yes, we can become Buddhas. This is how. It's those adventitious afflictions, seeds and imprints that we need to eradicate. And this we can all do. That afflicted minds are adventitious means they are not inherently existent, or they don't exist by way of their own nature or essence. Rather, they are dependent on causes. If they existed by way of their own essence, they would be independent. Causes would have no impact on them because they exist by way of their own essence. They don't arise dependently on causes. And if they existed, if they were not adventitious, if they exist by way of their own nature, if they were there, they could never go because their essence could not be destroyed because there would be no causes to eliminate them. So if afflictions were not adventitious, they'd be ever present and unchanging. They wouldn't get stronger or weaker. We would just always be equally, for example, angry, or always equally attached, or always equally jealous, if the afflictions existed by way of their own nature. But they do not because they are adventitious or temporary. Rather than existing by way of their own nature, they arise in dependence on causes and conditions. And this is crucial to recognize in meditation, that if something arises dependently, we can influence it. Being dependent, being interdependent, means we can influence it. So when in meditation you recognize that something is dependent, recognize that therefore we have influence. Afflictions are dependent on causes. If those causes are absent, they cannot arise. The afflictions need an object. So let's say, take an affliction of anger. Be angry at something. Person or situation, whatever it may be. In addition to that, there is also a preceding consciousness called improper mental engagement. It's independent on improper mental engagement, or to maybe put in clearer English, it's independent on engaging improperly with the object. So improper mental engagement, engaging mentally in an improper manner with the object. Independent on that, the affliction, such as anger or attachment, arises. Then how does improper mental engagement work? It serves to, and here I'll use three synonyms, fabricate, superimpose, or elaborate characteristics of the object. Exaggerating or superimposing faults onto an object, this is done by engaging mentally improperly with object. Exaggerating or superimposing faults, anger arises. Superimposing or fabricating pleasant, pleasing qualities, this is done by engaging improperly with the object. Attachment arises. So here we see that these afflictions, they are not innate to the mind. They are adventitious, which means they arise dependently on causes. We need an object that we are attached to or angry towards, but the consciousness of the affliction is preceded by improper mental engagement, which functions to superimpose or fabricate or elaborate the characteristics of the object.
On the other hand, you seem to get Jimmer Lobo get parting the bands, and that Jimmer Lobo Waddy get part Yambotianche, Pongwaina, then I'll get the San Yoko Totuki, San Yoko Wacha, San Yet Chatugores, thank you and Hamchin and Silva, and then Hamchin and Chagores, your water.
Therefore, recognizing that the afflictions are adventitious, they can be eliminated through the application of the appropriate antidote. This is a crucial recognition because this means we ourselves can attain Buddhahood. We can arise as perfected beings and be of truly great benefit to others.
Sim Sem上面都具有一把，这是Sem上部的一些我公布的呀，具有一把。Sem，但是俺把这些俺就牛毛不认得的，你不等于对，你不从具有具有一把的，这是俱属有的，具有大有的，这是咱牛毛帮俺就牛毛不有把的，没把所有些呢，也不所有的具有大有，所有大有的，这是咱Sem上面都具有一把的，俱属有些，这是Sem上部的一些你不男男的这人把公的，我公的不都大具有大有的些。
And that we can eradicate completely our adventitious afflicted minds is presented in the final sentence in the paragraph. Therefore, the mind can become either better or worse as it is suitable to be transformed. Recognizing the importance of the meaning of the sentence is that whatever we are most habituated to is how we all, our mind will be naturally inclined. But this habituation is changeable. We can mold our mind, we can shape our mind so that in particular situations, naturally compassion arises, naturally love arises. And where we find in particular situations, those situations serve as triggers for our afflictions of anger or attachment. Through applying antidotes, we can transform our mind. And eventually in those same situations, only wholesome minds would arise, not afflictions. We can respond then with love and compassion rather than in an afflicted way. And this is because the mind itself can be shaped, it can be molded. So therefore, recognizing this, that is through developing our habituation to wholesome ways of thinking, through that we weaken our habituation to unwholesome ways of thinking. And therefore, no matter how strong particular afflictions may be for us, we can have confidence that with persistent training, we can weaken those afflictions and eventually eradicate them. And likewise, where we notice a particular good quality is quite weak in us, it's difficult to generate. Again, because we can mold, shape our mind, our mind is suitable to be transformed, we can develop good qualities. All good qualities to the point of perfection.
Is that that you are done? You body, Gimsen Garrison, Dijinia, Sheva, the same Gerashin, Latima Mashubata, same you more says, and Jutin, the Timmy Maleba, the you are done, your body. You more the same Gerashin, Latima Shudubata, Timmy Leba Shubata, same you more says, and Jutin, the Timmy Leba Shudana, go more, won't be the die, your mother, or never say, Mother Mabarwa.
这种没法子就要打没法的，你那今咱当然就给别人就第四个别的家的南瓜的呀，南瓜是今咱过别东山路去的，其他的金巴蒙古去用这个了，今南边的金巴提提巴的萝卜娃的，其他那个不了，我金巴的怕没法使用的南瓜吃用过的，其他的猪肉今的牛马肉去呢，过猪牛马都是猪肉马修去的，都现在下边的。 刚才我们几个人说了，三三他的妈听不见的，就光让脏马吃掉过来。这张区域是我了，牛马没法的，这张我没法子会读下些的，光脏马吃掉过来。南开的我了呀，真没法的，这张让心里真牛，没这张的，那路不给进去，都给进体不用过的，那过度些的，那块刚才举了真没法子，南开的当心也是东山的吃掉过来。第二些的，身边让心里呀。 这么没修吧？你讲，那个你没法说呀。这么修吧，那没法说，没法的。上有个我，他也没法的。因为那的，那第一个过的，那俺就给身体，搿是身体上心越少哇，上心力点的这些的，那俺就给越来嘛哪里呀？那就用哪里呀？那的，这是再多点钱，那的的，第一个嘛，我送过日上心力，第一个了。
Bien, mon beau, bien, mon beau, bien,
Bebu, Dengu, and Nigin, and Digitan, Bebu, Dengu, Tone, and San Yirik, Yavadan, and Jigger, Vesavari, said the Dinigi, Gimzema, Odan, and she was soon gordon.
Bebu, Dengu, the reason that the mind is suitable to be transformed is what's laid out in the previous sentence in this paragraph. That the nature of the mind, its final reality, is uncontaminated. So too is the entity of the mind. It is also uncontaminated. And therefore, because both the conventional entity and the ultimate nature of the mind is uncontaminated, the obscuring afflictions are adventitious, and therefore the mind can be transformed or developed into a pure state. Here, we can refer to Sublime Continuum from where the previous quotation came. So in this remarkable text by Maitreya, he presents... as a translator, I can't remember how this is translated. In English, we use generally one word for both of these Tibetan words, but in Sublime Continuum, the translator uses two different words, but I don't remember these. It's been a long time. But there are 9 illustrations and 9 examples. Maybe it's like that. But those who've studied Sublime Continuum, you'll recall this. So there are 9 illustrations and 9 examples given, which are used by meditators to recognize their Buddha nature. So one of them is that of the sky. That even on days when the sky is overcast, perhaps with thick dark clouds, those clouds we know are temporary. They will pass. The weather will change, and the clear entity of the sky will again be revealed. Another illustration is that of muddied water. No matter how muddy water may be, if it's able to sit still, that those contaminations will sink to the bottom, and the water will once again reveal its pure entity. So through examples such as these two and 16 others, then the Sublime Continuum presents in great detail a reasoning that we can use to establish our Buddha nature.
Na den dandala jisu ge kar sungu do sungo re sene ara zul ya ane sangi da ara zun ye ma dangbo ane sangi ya ara zun na chi ba re es je sa chi ba re ne chi ba enda ne nimbo karakar tengu dusu bidusu ne hakuwa jine nimbo tengu ngures jine jine da semge rangshi niluk diye tartuk diye hakuwa di jechimbole di dogu gores jine da semge rangshi niluk tar doba inna semge rangshi niluk tartuk dele ya lo notu kasoy shortiken da jinsin marik basayadi bangru gores di meba sötub na dine dine ya da sanji kürtu gureye sadece dan döndar lapça demadu titik orta diye
Further reason that we can apply one of our logic is that whether we take as an illustration Buddha Shakyamuni or any other Buddha, they all were previously no different from you and I, just as afflicted as we find ourselves to be. And on those dark days when one's mind seems pervaded by anger or attachment, other beings are and were in that position. Some of them, though, who were just as, at the time of being just as afflicted as we find ourselves individually right now, heard these presentations on the Buddha Dharma, reflected on them well, heard many more, kept reflecting on them, and came to realize the conventional reality, understand all the varying elements in accordance with conventional reality. For example, in our context here, that the afflictions are adventitious. The seeds and stains are adventitious, which means they do not exist by way of their own nature, but rather are dependent on causes. Therefore, if I eradicate those causes, the afflictions cannot arise. So therefore, I have to find out how to do so, what the antidote to the afflictions are. And not only find that out, but as I'm coming to understand that, apply it. So in this way, we see that beings come to develop ascertainment or a valid cognition in relation to how things conventionally exist, and thereby apply the antidotes to, in this instance, apply the antidotes to the afflictions, eradicate them completely. And as part of understanding how things do exist, those beings who at this point were striving to become bodhisattvas and eventually Buddhas, as we aspire to as well, they would recognize, ascertain with a valid cognizer that the final way the mind abides is free of the afflictions, as too is the conventional essence of the mind. And knowing this, they would apply the antidotes. So therefore, it's important that we come to understand this and the other presentations really well. A mere intellectual understanding is insufficient. We need to realize it. And this is done through hearing again and again and applying it in meditation. In particular, we need to come to recognize the root cause of all our suffering, the ignorance of true grasping, so that we can apply the antidote to the wisdom realizing emptiness. And this, conjoined with bodhicitta, is how we all will become Buddhas.
I'm going to go to the next one.
coming to recognize that ignorance of true grasping is the root cause of all our afflictions, is indispensable. And recognize, we need to understand as when it's recognized, we will know that we have recognized or realized this, as opposed to merely intellectually understanding, because of the resulting determination to come to understand and apply the antidote, the wisdom realizing emptiness. It will then be like nothing can stop us from meditating on emptiness, because I've realized this ignorance is the cause keeping me in pain. So to be able to get to this point, we have to come to realize this point comes about in dependence on an array of prior realizations. The lamrim is laid out in the way that it is for a specific reason. In order to come to develop the wisdom realizing emptiness, one needs to develop one's mind through a progressive series of trainings. The graduate lamrim in English is the graduated stages on the path to enlightenment. So enlightenment's the goal. But to achieve it, one needs the wisdom realizing emptiness and bodhicitta. To achieve those, there are many stages that one needs to train in sequentially. And the reason for that is each stage serves to broaden our mind, to raise our perspective, so that we are ever less concerned with things of no value, becoming and developing an ever stronger, more powerful, transformed mind. And this comes through the prior realizations. Only independence on having cultivated such a mind is one really able to realize emptiness. Hence, those foundational realizations, these need to be generated in order to actually realize emptiness. So if you have an aspiration to develop the higher goals, the higher quality minds, the preceding foundation has to be developed. The mind has to be transformed in that way to have sufficient strength. So on that point, we'll conclude for the evening and continue tomorrow morning. Thank you so much.